This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show here on a Tuesday. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got 5 hours of sports coming up here, and the Rangers are going to get back after it tonight, 7 o'clock pregame. General at your service, at ease. Broadus remains out for the next two afternoons. He'll make his return on Thursday. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup here. Master Control 75 and 635. Fixing to go five flawless. Like it's nothing. The man has it stuck on automatic. Of course, you got Wolchuk and Schiafalo here. Aiden Butler is coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. A reminder to get you that Odyssey app, the ultimate Tolo backup in your pocket. Rangers late rally, 3 in the 8th, 7-6 the final. They come up short. So I think you like how they competed. You got some runs.
Sure.
Maybe you're a little bit snake bit with the two-run error from Josh Young. Ends up kind of being the difference. Yeah. That one hurts. Kicking away a great opportunity to get right against some bad teams is what we're looking at. We talked about how last week these opponents over the next couple of weeks are all like 10 games below 500 at the quarter pole. Yep. Well, you're helping the Astros you know, now the Rockies reverse that trend a little bit. So it's not fun. It's not fun to see your average baseball team struggle to win against bad baseball teams.
Yep.
It incrementally makes it suck a little bit more. It's salt in the wounds. We could tell ourselves for the first 38 games, oh, the schedule. And that was comfort, wasn't it?
Great pitching.
It was great comfort.
It was cope.
It was cope. And that's why, you know, when we started ending the show last night, I'm just kind of like, you know what?
You said that last night.
I kind of lost the hope.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this team is what they are, and that is maybe a 500 baseball
team. You're ready
team.
To see them blow it up.
I am. Yeah. And I really hate to say that because there are qualities about this team that I thought, you know what, if things could just kind of fall into place. Look, they haven't been healthy. They've still got good starting pitching. The bullpen's been fantastic this year. But ultimately, this lineup just does not come together. And you started 1-3 now. Against Houston, who stunk. Colorado is one of the worst teams in baseball. And hey, maybe you still come away with a series win. And in baseball, it's tough because you never want to have that knee-jerk overreaction where it's like, wave the white flag, they're done. Because you still got 100-plus games left to go. And all it takes is like, oh, can they go on a 10-game? It's just, you haven't seen this team show any signs of consistency in life that they're capable of going on like an 8-to-10-game win streak. So to bank on it, I really think they are what they are. They'll give you a couple of fun pops here and there that'll keep you believing, like, oh, maybe this is the run, and they'll fall back into what they are, which is average as hell. And now defensively, you can't rely on it. They're so injured. Foskey's not a good defensive second baseman. Ezekiel Duran, who is a good defensive player, he's having errors last night. I love what Josh Young said after the game yesterday, accepting accountability. You lose by a run. He gave up two runs. He's given up too many at the hot corner. He was a star at third base defensively the year they won the World Series, and he was an all-star. That guy doesn't look the same right now. Berger's average at best at first base. So you don't have the quality defensively that you had a year ago to where it was like, okay, the only thing that we don't have is the offense. Now it's like you're making errors that you didn't make a year ago on defense, and now your pitching's been kind of in and out. Mackenzie Gore, that was unfortunate. I hope he's okay. But there's just too many question marks, and then the health, too. Like, is Wyatt ever going to get right? Corey, hopefully he comes back from this. We've seen him go on the IL, and he comes back healthy and is good. But I just don't – there's not enough to me to really buy in and emotionally say, like, okay, yes, I'm still a believer in this team anymore.
Yeah, we need our guy Berger to heat up, and he has been hot for the last five games or so. But that was just his eighth home run last night with a .233 average. If you're not going to hit for higher average, I think we're going to need more power from Jake Berger. Although that probably puts him on pace for around 30 bombs.
Yeah,
like Jake Berger definitely isn't the problem with this team right now. He hit another one out last night. You know,
in a game where Foscue goes for 3 for 3,
yeah,
you have to win.
Excellent.
You have to win that game. You said it last night, like, who's the guy that's going to step up?
Yeah.
Right? And Foscue did.
Six runs. Okay, so I'm kind of like team sell the farm, get two bats, believe Seager and Lankford are coming back, and they're gonna be, you know, great producers for you. I think Woolchuck's kind of like team blow it up at 877-881-1053. How are you looking at, you know, what's coming up? We got August 3rd, so we got 2.5 months of baseball to go.
Yeah, still a long time.
Plenty of time, but I mean, the way that they're producing runs really over the last 250 games, it's under four runs. It's 3.75 runs. So this is such a massive sample size. I'm not going to believe in the guys that are here, Woolchuck, so I'll meet you there. I don't believe in these guys, but I think I would believe them if you improve 25% of the lineup in a significant way.
Do you want to see Lankford and Seager get back to being themselves before you kind of make that commitment of, like, we need to be buyers here, get more bats? Because if Lankford is going to stay injured or just come back and be as unproductive as he was before the injury, and Seager's going to come back and be roughly the same crappy version of himself, I don't think there's any amount of trades in the world that are going to get it done.
So you think there's a chance Corey Seager's this bad? Like, moving forward, I think he's going to bounce. Maybe he's not going to be what he was. Maybe he can only be 85% of that, 90% of that.
Yeah, and it's like, is that enough?
I would say yes. And if Lankford comes back and is what he has been throughout his career, it wouldn't reach the all-league goals that he has, but he would be a very good outfielder, one of the toolsiest guys in all of baseball. But I see your point. You know, I do believe if you get the right kind of bats, it gets you more protection. It gives you a couple of guys that could carry you throughout the course of a week. And, you know, it eliminates what are pretty significant holes at second base and DH. They're inning killers. You know, these guys are coming up and you're like, you know, not only is he probably going to get out, but if he does get on, it's probably just a single, and you got too many of those guys right now. But, you know, maybe I'm just hanging on. Maybe I'm hanging on to 2023 too much.
And I did the same thing. And I just think, and you gave it, I mean, I gave it 2+ years now.
Yeah.
And there were times last year I was like, you know what, this team's probably .500.
But if you blow it up, it's going to be bad for like 3 to 5 years.
But you've kind of just...
Let's take one more real swing at this.
And I'd love that to happen. And this team has to earn it. And we talked about that a little bit last year.
Yeah.
Like, they got to show it. I mean, right now we're putting hope and faith into something that they just have not shown you exists and is real. And until they do, it's like, hope is not a strategy. Right now, their offense isn't good enough. Jake Berger is not a guy that you should have to rely on to be your offensive catalyst and your best hitter and runners in scoring position. That should be others. And unfortunately, right now, that's his role on this team. Nimmo's been good, then he went cold. You need him to get back going. He had a tremendous catch the other day in Houston. That was brilliant to watch. The outfield defense has been fine for the most part. Osuna's had a couple of wonky plays out there.
I liked what he did last night with the card still in his mouth.
Yeah, and he's been a guy that since he got called up, he's made the most of his opportunities. On base percentage is pretty damn strong. You know, he's been rocking on base streaks. I think it was 17 of 21 games he's been on base. But overall, it's just too little too late for me to where I just don't have that hopium to talk myself into it anymore. I just think they are what they are, and it might not even be a .500 club. And it sucks, because the last thing I want to talk about is trading away a DeGrom, an Eovaldi. But if you're looking at what's going to net you the best return, a contending team that's legit looking at, like, can I add a frontline starting pitcher and a Nathan Eovaldi, who I really would love to see retire as a Texas Ranger, who's a damn hero, is a Texas guy himself. But if I'm going to be able to make my team the best, the fastest way possible, it is having that hard conversation and possibly moving one of those arms.
Okay, Texas coming in kind of thinking it's possible Corey Seager is Dunsky. Seager's wash, says the 4-4-3. This team's going nowhere like the last 2.5 years. 682, at some point, Father Time catches up to you, and it wouldn't be shocking if Seager is done. And then the 214 says he's team get the Rangers broadcast off the station. 214 has been passionate about that lately. I guess baseball's not his favorite sport, but there are so many Rangers fans out there that win, lose, or draw, they're dialed in. We love having the Rangers on our station. I love listening to them as I'm going home and then tuning on the TV and having Dave and Mike Bassick, you know, talk to you about this baseball team for the next 3 hours. Those guys are a riot, but you know, it's too young right now for me to believe Corey Seager is done. You know, and if it was 2 years older, we're close. But this is more likely just that first slump as you approach your mid-30s that is a warning shot to, hey, you know, you're not going to play till 42. You're not going to be that rare cat like who's hitting 300 at 39 years old and playing DH and first basing. So live it up while you can. Alrighty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Pregame tonight, 7 o'clock. Mackenzie Gore exited after giving up two in the first. His velo was down a little bit. We'll talk with Kyle Higashioka coming up at 4:20. But then the bullpen gave it up and dug you a big hole led by Peyton Gray there in the air from Josh Young. So at 877-881-1053, 214 says, keep talking about the Rangers. I love the Rangers. I still think they can make the playoffs this year. Let's not intentionally become terrible for half a decade. That's where I kind of am, you know, and I don't know if last night's loss bumps them out of playoff positioning, but they're right there. And this might be another one of those years where if you're looking up with 84, 85 wins, you might actually sneak in.
They've been bad for a decade. They've been terrible for a decade. We had 2023. They've had a losing record every year since 2016. Yeah. Guys, we're living in the purgatory right now. This is it. We got a moment of reprieve. They made a phenomenal run, and we thought, oh my gosh, this is the spark of another dynasty. It doesn't seem like it is.
It's the top five rotation, Wolchuk.
It is, and the top five rotation last year didn't net you a playoff spot. And maybe this year it can because the division just sucks so bad.
We got $70 million in payroll under the threshold.
And we're asking for more.
Write the damn check, Ray.
You know what? If you can do it and there's somebody out there that can do the job. I want that. I want them to. There's nothing better than October playoff baseball. I want it. I don't have it in me to believe that it's happening right now.
Wow. I never thought I'd see the day. Wolchuk is one of the most optimistic sports fans I've ever known, Chief, and he loves his Dallas sports team. This doesn't come easy.
No, this doesn't. It sucks. I can see the pain on his face, but this is 2.5 years of building, and when you extrapolate it outside of 23, this is a decade. This is a decade of frustrations. So I get it. I get where he's coming from. And when you go into Colorado and you spit the bit versus those guys, and your best player, like, again, I think – like, dude, Seager and Langford, those were supposed to be the guys in your lineup, and they've given you nothing.
Yeah. Hopefully they're due to progress to the mean or whatever and have the kind of last 100 games that will create the 270 average with 30 bombs. Like, how amazing would July, August, September
be? So much fun.
If they can come back and rock it. Tonight, Kamar Rocker on the hill. For the Rangers. Rockies are going with an opener.
So are the Rangers. So Tyler Alexander's going to open tonight.
Oh, okay.
And then Rocker's going to come in. That was a change made a couple hours ago. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe you know, Rocker struggled in the first inning. So
I
maybe
like
this
it.
Is something that they're, you know, new strategy for him.
Yeah, I saw from Kennedy Landry, he's got 11.25 ERA in the first inning this season.
Okay.
Rocker
All
does.
Right.
So it makes sense.
Decent strat. Maybe,
let's do it.
Maybe we can tag team this thing. It'll be Sammy Peralta and his 7.59 ERA with a 1.88 whip coming in for the Rockies to open it up. 41-24 for Wemby. Spurs get the game one in double overtime without De'Aaron Fox. Lucius picked the Spurs to win the series yesterday. We should have come to you for the Rangers prediction. Are you team buy two bats or team blow this Rangers team up coming off your heater pick of the Spurs?
Oh, it's time to go ahead and blow it on.
Oh, there we go, baby. Press the button.
Baby.
Code red.
Oh. I mean, it hurts because I know you guys are probably right.
I know it sucks, dude, because I've been on the other end fighting your fight. But now it's like I don't think I can do it. In the fan base, I see it. I see the venom. And you know what? Ranger fans aren't dumb. They know it. We see it. I mean, we watch this team night in and night out. You kind of get a feel for it. Maybe, and you know what? There is a little bit of hope in me that's like, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put it. I'm going to wave the white flag. And the team just says, screw you. They flip you the sports bird. And now they go on a 40-20 run or something incredible. And if that happens, please let it happen. I will be so happy. But I don't have it in me to.
There'd be some good tasting crow, you know what I mean?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Best crow of all time. Let's go. I can't wait to
best
serve
that.
Best
type of crow I like, in fact.
Please.
Yeah. I'll take a buffet and some crow dessert, crow nuts in the morning. Wemby, a three to tie it late in the first OT, pair of dunks and a block to end the second overtime and put it away. OKC, for their part in the loss, they were close. They missed a ton of shots. They were maybe rusty. Maybe they dispatched the Lakers a little bit too quickly. They'll be sharper. But for those of us who were, speaking of Eden Crow, who didn't think San Antonio had a real shot, today we're, you know, reassessing how we feel about this.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, I was expecting this to be a pretty incredible series, game six, game seven. I wasn't expecting what we saw last night. That's for sure. And it was as fun of a game that I've watched in a long time when you consider it's two teams that you're not fans of and you kind of actually hate a little bit. And I was having the time of my life watching that game last night. I'm like, can we get a triple overtime? I'd be here for it. You always want these games to end when it's like 10:30, like I'm exhausted. That wasn't one you wanted to end.
Yeah. If the remaining games are that compelling, what you will end up getting is a giant magnet pulling sports fans, even non-NBA fanatics,
right,
to watching it because, you know, it's an incredible spectacle. And the tanking, yes, it killed momentum, but the regular season has always been bad. You know, legacies are made, memories are made. You're going to be telling your kids, I watched Wemby on his first ascent, and at 22 years old, with a group of guys that wouldn't even make the playoffs without him, he beat the greatest team we've seen in the last 7 years.
Unreal.
In the league. You know, so what he's doing is incredible. I think it's can't miss TV. You know, this is like a create a player.
100%.
You know,
it absolutely is.
Let's do something that's impossible. And there he is. And it's.
And you can't create that mentality he has, bro.
Yeah.
No. You know, you get like the big guys, like the gentle big dude. No, he's none of that.
No.
He's a beast on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that
outside
magic
the court, moment. He might be a nice guy. On the court, he's a total beast, bro. Like, the winning edge, he wants that the whole time.
Yeah. And at like the motivation, like post game, he's talking about, the snub of the MVP. I want as many of those trophies as I can. Like, he's got that magic in him where he'll go back to winning time and Bird wins the Rookie of the Year, and they put that at Magic's locker room, and then afterwards he's motivated. Like, Wemby's got that.
Wemby
man.
Had to watch the whole celebration. He had to watch his trophy go to somebody else right there, and he already has smoke with Chet. Come on!
Yeah, he took that personally, dude. He's got the competitive drive that you love, and he's got the assassin big game moment.
He does.
Let me give me the ball, I'll get the buckets.
Dude, that pull-up three was insane.
End of the fourth quarter, overtime, whatever it is, huge buckets when his team needed it. Like, he's got the assassin gene as well. It's incredible.
Yeah. Got a run. We got the champ on the other side. Then Volchuk's top 10. Where are you taking it?
Well, we did have a game 7, and Buffalo's going to Buffalo. The top 10 sports saddest cities in America. 877-881-1053. Who's the worst? That's next.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
All right, here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, we got top 10 here in just a minute. Let's go to the Pimp Cup. Lucius has your champ.
All right, this will be going for 4 today, I believe, at 5:30 on the Fan. So stick around for that or make an appointment or whatever. I don't think Mr. Broadus has heard this piece of audio.
I don't think he has either.
I don't think he's heard this. It might go 5 times before he even gets to hear it. Yep, Bobby Bell is making fun of our guy, Mr. Brian Broadus, because he likes to interrupt. He'll interrupt any moment. It's a talent, in fact. Here he is right here with the President Franklin D. Roosevelt, his historic speech to Congress, a declaration of war, and brought his head questions.
December 7th, 1941.
Who did it?
A date which will live.
Was that Germany or was that Japan?
Who did it?
Who did it?
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Watch, he's going to say Germany, I bet.
By naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Ah, that was my next guess.
The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation.
Does he speak Japanese?
Government.
I didn't know that.
Its emperor.
Is that, has he always known Japanese, or is that like you think,
peace in the Pacific.
Like once he lost use of his legs, did like make his brain stronger?
On the
hey, speaking
island,
of Germany, why does he wear that mustache, the Hitler guy? It's just a dumb mustache, right? Like, why does anybody take them seriously? Is that considered attractive there in Germany?
Should I get that mustache?
That is a deep thought there. I had wondered that myself. Like, that it's never repeated. That might be the biggest fashion, unique fashion thing in history.
Jordan tried it for a second there.
Oh, that's right.
He did have that joint for a second. Nobody told him anything because he's Jordan, you know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious. Yeah, but AI brought us to be looking for four tonight and then maybe five tomorrow, depending on when the Rangers game.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because
we got a
2 o'clock Rangers game tomorrow. So that means we'll probably get on the air 5:30 or so.
Gym time, baby.
Yeah. The 214 asking Gavin, have you paid off the best pellet for a pellet smoker tease from yesterday? No, but I'm about to. Let's go. Kirkland.
Oh.
It is another thing they're doing better than anybody else.
You talking about Kirkland's brand?
Kirkland from Costco.
Bro, I think this gold is Kirkland's brand.
Okay.
Fam, everything I got is Kirkland's brand at this point.
It's amazing, yeah. Dude. They will make a knockoff version of your thing and do it better. I want to see their Fruit Loops, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. What else they got? Their sodas? Chewy granola bars?
Chips? I want to see their Fruit Loops.
Show me them Fruit Loops.
Captain Crunch.
Kirkland freaking barbecue pellets. So strong and good. I think you'll appreciate that at a great price.
Dude, this is crazy. So did you do the oak? Or
I got the blue bag. I'm not sure what the blue bag is, but it is kicking out. Like my problem with pellet smokers is if you're, you know, it'll end up tasting like you cooked it on a gas grill sometimes if you don't get the right pellet. Some of these pellets will be like, oh, look at this. We got gourmet pellets. Trash.
Kirkland.
Trash. There is a wide range of the quality of the punch you're going to get. And if you want punchy, smoky barbecue, and you got a pellet smoker, I get it. You want the convenience of the pellets.
Yes, I
do. I don't like starting the full fire either. Yeah. It's a pain in the butt cleaning that whole thing out. But, you know, there's a big variance. Anyway, here's Wolchuk with his top 10 or 220. Zach with an 8.
All right. Man, it was a tough one again in Buffalo last night as they lose in a playoff game. Winner go home style in overtime. 3-2. The Montreal Canadiens win in OT. They will move on and take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight will be game one of the Western Conference Final between Colorado and Vegas. Now,
Buffalo's the most tortured sports fan.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo should be number one.
Somebody buy them a beer.
Cities. It's
no wonder they get so hammered and jump off Winnebagos.
The Bills joined the NFL in 1970. The Sabres joined the NHL the same year. Neither team has won a championship. 55 years and 110 seasons of losing. And the Bills lost four freaking Super Bowls in a row.
Third time in a row. They really thought they had that third one. There's no way God will play with us on this third one.
It's like all the losses are heartbreaking. Like even the Sabres Stanley Cup loss. It's the Brett Hull goal, which they still to this day say his skate was in the crease. It shouldn't count. And then last night, Game 7, overtime loss. I mean, the way the Bills have lost to Mahomes and the Chiefs in the playoffs with Josh Allen recently, it's crazy. I mean, we've had heartbreaks in Dallas lately, you know, with the Cowboys in the postseason. There's been some tough ones. And a lot of people did text in, and I put it out on X as well, which will always be Twitter, Lucius. I'm with you on that. And Dallas did get a lot of, hey, we are. I mean, if you look at it, since the dynasty of the 90s, it's been the Rangers in 23, the Mavs in 11, the Stars in 99. It's not like you're winning a ton of championships, but it still doesn't compare to what Buffalo's dealing with here.
No, brutal. No, it feels like it can get pretty barren and that you're out in a desert without championships, but we're in a freaking paradise compared to Buffalo.
It's crazy. I mean, we did at least get a couple of years ago, Stars and Mavs are playing in the conference finals. Like, that was fun. Every other night for about a month, we had a Stars or Mavs playoff game. It's a hell of a run. Mavs go to the finals, they lose, but we got to enjoy that. But this Buffalo thing is terrible. So honorable mention, you've got San Diego. They lose the Chargers. I mean, when you're losing your own team, that sucks. And then the Padres. Now, the Padres are one of these teams that does, like, they're exactly what we would like the Rangers owners to do, where they're spending the money, they're writing the checks, they're aggressive with A.J. Preller at the deadline, they're going to get every single big name possible, and then it just results in nothing substantial in terms of postseason success. So San Diego was an honorable mention. Detroit was listed. Cincinnati, I mean, Cincinnati, outside of 1 year with Burrow going to the Super Bowl, I guess they made another AFC championship game, but that was a dumpster fire of an organization. The Reds have been, blah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one right there. I mean, thank God for Joe Burrow and those two seasons where you had some fun. Maybe they get back to it this year with an easy schedule. But my gosh, Cincinnati's been tough. I think Minnesota has been texted in quite a bit, like Minneapolis.
Yeah.
They've gotten, I mean, no titles since what? Like
91.
91 with the Twins?
Kirby Puckett against the Braves.
That's a toughie.
The Falcons. I always think about the Falcons in that 28-3. Yeah. You know, and they
Atlanta,
just.
They're going to make an appearance.
They would have to.
New York is at 10, because outside of the Yankees and the Giants did get a couple of Super Bowls, but you've got two teams in every sport. And, like, the Islanders are terrible. The New York Rangers haven't done anything for you. The Mets, they went to the 2000 Subway Series where they were in the World Series. That's been a dumpster fire organization, spending a ton of money, losing. So they're number 10 from the sheer number of teams and lack of success.
Mets and Jets. Dude.
Jets?
My gosh.
I love watching this New York bias national media get all worked up about the Knicks. Like, what's different about New York this year? Like, oh man, everything is so amazing, right? We got the right coach and the right. No, the conference sucks.
Right.
Somebody's got to win it. You know, you finally waited out Brown and Tatum and the Celtics and Giannis with the Bucks. Yeah. And, you know,
Halliburton tears his Achilles.
Embiid. And Halliburton, yes. You know? Yes. You aren't special. You were trash. You are in the NBA I grew up watching. New York is at best second round road team, losing in five. That's how good New York is.
Yeah. Shaq and Penny would have kicked that team's ass.
Jalen Hurt, Jalen Brunson, Ananobi, Carl Anthony Towns.
Poochies.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm shaking in my boots.
That's the real big three.
Yeah, I don't know how a Knicks fan could look at that game last night and be like, yeah, we got a shot. You know?
Oh, we got this.
Get back, Cleveland.
These haters on Twitter saying New York doesn't have a chance. Casuals.
Good luck. 9 is D.C., Commanders, awful.
He said, you are trash. Yeah. Come on, Russ. That's a reach, dog. Come on.
You're right. I went over the line there. You're not trash.
Come on, bro.
Wizards are trash. The Nats, I mean, the Nats did win a World Series, and the Capitals won a World Series recently, 2018. But overall, you've got a lot of stretches of bad, bad sports there. At 8, you do indeed have Detroit, which has been terrible. The Pistons, I guess, is their last championship.
Yeah, like 05 or 04.
Lions got close, you know, losing that NFC championship.
They've got a lot of hope. They still got a lot of hope there. They're not hopeless.
Tigers
not sad yet.
Yeah,
no.
That's fair.
Tigers had some good runs.
They did.
But ultimately, and I mean, this team
tried
this year,
to buy it.
The Skubal injury, that's a tough one that they're dealing with. Nashville comes in at 7 with the Titans and the Predators. Good fan base, but just teams that don't have a ton of success. Atlanta's at 6.
There they are.
With the Falcons, 28-3 blown Super Bowl lead. The Braves are their most recent title. And, well, then there's the Hawks, who gave them hope with an Eastern Conference Finals run not too long ago, but have been terrible ever since.
Once again, Eastern Conference.
Yep. 5 is Buffalo, and I think they should be 1, but they're at 5 on here. Bills and Sabres, longest active championship drought in most metrics when you look at decades without a major title. Four straight Super Bowl losses in the 90s and endless playoff heartbreaks. Cleveland is at four. And I guess it's...
No.
You got the Cavs with LeBron, but like the Browns are terrible and the Guardians are terrible.
Didn't the Guardians win a World Series like 12 years ago?
They were in it. I think they lost to the Cubs. I think that was the. I think they lost to Chicago in Game 7. But hell, all these World Series are starting to combine. But they did make it. They made it to one.
Okay, they did not win one. But still, you had LeBron, right?
You did have LeBron. And you came back from a 3-1 deficit. Like, that's an outstanding run.
Wouldn't you agree that the championship the Mavs won in 2011, even though it was 14 years ago, your experience as a Mavs fan is 10 times better?
Yes. Yes.
You will cherish that and love it. They can't take it away from you. If you've won a championship at any point in the last 20 years,
yes,
you are in way better shape than Buffalo.
Yeah, I can't put them ahead of Buffalo. Phoenix comes in at three with the Cardinals, the Suns, the Diamondbacks. Then they lose the Coyotes because they were so damn bad.
They won it in 2001, Luis Gonzalez.
They did. That's their one title among all their major franchises. And the Suns got there. And then Luka just killed them in the playoffs, and they had to nuke everything. The Suns lost to Milwaukee in the bubble title.
Yeah.
The year after the bubble title.
Yeah.
And Barclays.
Yeah, that was – didn't they blow a lead in that series too?
I think they were up 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did. Minneapolis is two with the Vikings, the T-Wolves, the Twins, and the Wild. They've got the longest active Big Four title drought among major cities, 91 with the Twins. But number one is Charlotte. With the Panthers and the Hornets, as the Hornets have been especially dismal, rare playoff success, and Carolina didn't make it to a Super Bowl. They've gone to two, but have also been very mediocre the majority of their run. So Charlotte comes in at one. I would still vote. Probably my top two would be Buffalo and Minneapolis. I mean, the Vikings playoff history is also one that's just like, gosh, I feel for those fans.
It hurts more when you're being edged as a fan base time and time again like Buffalo has.
It's unfair. It's torture.
Just pull the carpet right from under you.
Gosh.
Cody Alexander match quarters coming up in about an hour. Kyle Higashioka, 420. What's next, Chief?
College football Tuesday. Darty, the most complete rosters in college football, and the NIL limits continue to know no bounds next.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the sports mix with Wolchuk coming up at 3 o'clock. Here's Chief with your college football darty.
Yes, sir. Crack him if you got him right after this.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again.
Well, I don't get the rain, the head cold.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much stress.
Life in the SEC can be challenging. Can be very rewarding as well. I saw new Miami Dolphins first-round pick Caden Proctor, formerly of Alabama, described what it can feel like when you're roaming the streets of an SEC campus after potentially a poor outing. He was on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Quote, not too many people know this, but after the Texas game my freshman year, I think I gave up two sacks that game, and we lost at home. It was a tragic loss for Alabama, and all hell broke loose. I remember I was going to Jimmy John's to pick up a sandwich. That had to be the gargantuan, right?
Oh, yeah.
The gargantuan at Jimmy John's.
I don't know if I've ever had a gargantuan. How many inches are we talking?
This is, it's not necessarily,
it's
more about the girth than the length because they just pack as much in there as possible. It's like the everything sandwich.
Right.
It was my go-to at UNT because it was the most filling. It's like for $10,
yeah,
I can get the biggest sandwich that Jimmy John's has to offer, and they'll bring it to me basically seconds after I click the buy now button. I was just speculating there, but so Caden Proctor goes to Jimmy John's. He picks up a sandwich after the game, and he says, I had my own Alabama fan come up to me and ask me if I was Caden Proctor. I said, yes. He said, well, you bleeping suck.
Oh.
Right to my face. He says, that's a tough thing to go through.
Gosh.
I don't think people understand how tough it is. I mean, can you imagine? You're walking up to the mountain of a man that is Caden Proctor, and you're such a rabid SEC fan. You can't imagine that your Crimson Tide lost a football game and a freshman gave up a sack or two, and you're going to go right up to his face while he's trying to enjoy his gargantuan after a tough loss as a freshman, knowing Nick Saban's about to just dig all up in his rear end and film tomorrow.
The balls on that guy.
You're going to walk up to Caden Proctor and tell him you bleeping suck?
No.
And credit to Proctor. Because we don't have a Joe Mixon video of him just clubbing somebody.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how you would handle that or how we should encourage athletes to handle that. Like, if you read that Caden Proctor put that dude in, like, a full Nelson, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, put him in a spladle.
Little camel clutch. That goes viral.
I think we all high five on that. If this is a grown man that's walking up to him, because he didn't specify. Like, this, it's the SEC. I mean, this could be a 12-year-old.
I'm assuming it's like a drunk sophomore.
I'm assuming, okay. Or it's like a drunk middle-aged guy.
Sure.
He lives and dies with the Tide.
Yeah, you know, I just think it's another example of the corrupt, like, relationship that some fans have with their players. And I guess they don't see them as actual humans, or they don't see them as vulnerable in any way.
It's just, you know,
like, of course you can take whatever disrespect and toxicity I throw at you because you're a professional athlete and you got $5 million, you know, so it totally excuses me being a total bleep. But I wish there was a stronger discouragement of that kind of behavior, because I think for the player, he's probably thinking, I can't kick this guy's ass. I'll get in trouble with the coach. They'll come arrest me.
Definitely.
You know, like, he should be able to kick the kid's ass for doing that.
Yeah. But he's also so big that, like, he literally could kill whoever this is.
Oh, he could.
Oh, yeah. Like, you want to use restraint.
Which also makes him.
I don't think it justifies homicide. No. But,
but my gosh, for this guy to have the cojones to go up and even say that to him.
Yeah, no, he's getting on business.
It's because he feels like the player won't do anything.
But that's true.
For one reason or another.
Yeah. He knows.
It's rage baiting. You know, and shout out to Caden Proctor. You're right. He held his own, and you just gotta eat that.
Now, I would say
at the office,
Caden Proctor still sucks. You know, I would agree. You know, watching him play, it's like, how could you be that big and not block better?
Oh yeah, his tape was frustrating. There's moments where it's like, my gosh, this guy is a star. And there's other times I'm like, holy hell, Caden Proctor, are you the slowest footed person I've ever seen?
Some of the workout videos that he and his team were putting out, it looks like a jumbo running back going through some of these drills. That's how fluid he is when he knows what his feet need to do.
Yeah.
You ask him to move spontaneously, and it's just like he's short-circuited.
Yeah, there's times where he is so slow off the ball. But 682, what would you guys do if you walked out of the building and someone said your last radio show sucked? I mean, you should see the texts that come in here. We kind of get that on a daily basis. But if it was in person, I'd probably just be like, you're probably right. And then I'd feel terrible. And I'd think to myself, am I any good at this? Should I quit?
I'd eat
it. Do I need to go back to Chick-fil-A? I have days like that. Or I'd just get in the car and say, screw that guy. And go about my day.
Go pick up a gargantuan from Jimmy John's.
I'm gonna eat my feelings.
Eat your feelings.
Just get back up to 300 pounds.
That's probably what
I mean, but I think people can actually relate to this because they're on social media and they put their takes out there. And then the world jumps on you. Like, this dude put in the comments the other day on my podcast, you look like you were born without shoulders. And I was like, that's kind of funny. That's kind of funny.
Sometimes it is good.
That's what I respect. If you're going to send some hate, at least make it a joke, man.
Yes.
Try.
But I have been thinking, bro, I need to get back in the gym.
You look like Captain America before he got in that machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect a good joke.
Yeah. You look like you were born without shoulders. My gosh.
You should have said, you should see my legs.
Yeah.
Okay. All you can do is laugh because it hurts.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It does hurt, though. Now, gosh, it hurts so much.
This is pretty interesting here. The number one quarterback, we remember, the number one quarterback for 2026, Jared Curtis, signed with Vanderbilt, true freshman quarterback. And Nate Bargatze, the famous comedian, is a big Vandy guy. He was actually on College Game Day at one point during the season trying to recruit Curtis to Vandy. Well, he's come correct. And now Nate Bargatze, who has a new movie coming out called The Breadwinner, he part of the NIL deal for the number one quarterback in 2026. The NIL deal is to have like a cameo in the movie. So now we've leveled up the NIL.
Wow.
Where it's not just collecting a check, I'm also going to get some screen time in a cinematic feature.
That's pretty sweet.
That's nice, dude.
Yeah, awesome.
You got to figure out ways to make it unique for these kids. And I don't know, I think it's just a pretty small moment on screen, but this kid's going to collect a check for it, and he's going to be in a big movie. So that's how Vanderbilt's able to secure the number one player. That's how you get it done. So respect to them.
Man, their commitment to winning is impressive because they have risen from the ashes. But they're nerds who have apparently learned great things at Vanderbilt over the years and gone off into the real world. Apparently they still love football and are willing to write checks to make it happen.
I love football.
I guess so, man. Now I have the top 10.
Knew they love baseball.
Yeah, the baseball was kind of their wheelhouse.
They also love football.
But they just couldn't.
They just weren't good.
They couldn't let that be known, yeah, because they suck so bad. But now that they're up, it's like, sure, I'll throw something down.
How do you call
like
them
the
nerds, bro? What happened?
Well, that's a term of endearment. Harvard of the South.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, they're smart.
They're like, those engineers, right, there in Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Yeah, not all engineers are nerds. I saw my roommate, who is an idiot, find a way to get that. I mean, I don't
really?
Know. Yeah, it took a long time. It took like 8 years, but he found a way to get it done.
It's impressive because my friend who tried engineering bailed after the first year.
No, you know what? Sometimes it's just all about the persistence. And my guy, Matthew, I love you, buddy. You got it done.
12 times he had a test. He's like, I get it now.
Seriously. I mean, I watched that guy live in the library.
Seriously.
I never saw him.
8 years to get a degree, man. Respect. It is Texas with the most complete roster, according to CBS Sports. Their best position group is going to be wide receiver. They do have the most expensive roster in college football, so they should have the most complete. But you also have Ohio State, and their best position group is at wide receiver.
It's wide receiver.
They got the five-star freshman Chris Henry Jr.
Yeah, they do. He's a savage, man.
Yeah, he's the son of the late, great Chris Henry from the Bengals.
I believe, did Chad Ochocinco, like, adopt him? Somebody adopted him.
I don't know.
It was one of his teammates.
Apparently, Ohio State has another linebacker named...
freaking research, dude.
Named Sincere Johnson.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Who's apparently a carbon copy version of Arvell Reese. So they have Arvell Reese 2.0, apparently, on that defense with Fat Patricia. So those are your top two most complete rosters. You got Georgia, you got Oregon, Notre Dame, Miami, but it's a lot of SEC up
Texas?
In there. North Texas, they're in Stillwater now.
Okay, paying, yeah, where's our Oklahoma State Mean Green?
They're paying Mestemaker $3.5 million per year.
I just can't wait to do the deep dive on Sincere to see, you know, if it turned out the way his parents imagined. You know, is this guy class clown? Yeah. Very serious in his studies.
Sincere with a C, by the way. That's how it's spelled.
Were they fans of the movie Belly?
Okay. Oh, there was a Sincere in
there. Sincere in there. I don't know how old his parents may be, though. Yeah.
But we had Sincere McCormick, UTEP great running back. He came on the nosebleed seats and sat down with us for a while.
I asked him some questions that I wish I wouldn't have.
The math really kind of threw him off.
We ran him through the combine question gauntlet, and we were asking him questions, and the answers were always 69, but it was totally short-circuited.
He just wasn't good. And it was Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Oh, it's Pac-Man. There you go.
It's Pac-Man adopted the two Chris Henry's two sons.
That's exactly what you would want.
No.
Hey, Chris Henry Jr.'s made it to Ohio State, baby. He did something right.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Darty in the books. A little mixed bag coming up, old Chuck.
Yeah, let's do this thing. My gosh, don't have my tees ready to rock for this one. But we got mock drafts. We got the most petty coach in all of college football and pooping your pants.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes, It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.